The following is a conversation with His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, recorded on July 13, 1976, in New York.
Human life is meant for making a solution of all material problems. That they do not. That point is missing. But there is another life which is eternal, blissful life of knowledge. But they have no idea that we can eternally live without birth, death, old age and disease. There is no information, neither education. But there is a life. If you get eternal life, then the tribulations of material life no longer there. Birth, death, old age and disease. But they have no idea or information because there is no intelligent man to understand that there is another life which is eternal life of bliss and knowledge. There is no information. That is the defect of the modern civilization. They are living like animals. No intelligence. So, actually human life is meant for purifying our existential condition so that we may not be subjected to birth, death, old age and disease. That they are missing. They do not know neither there is any education nor university. This Krishna consciousness movement is trying to educate people on that line. It is not a sentimental religious system. It is an educational system. How one can transfer himself to eternal blissful life.
Yes.
Looking for me. When you have come?
A few hours ago.
Everything is all right?
Yes.
Explain to them our eternal life.
Eternal life?
Yes.
Eternal life is described by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Ajo nito shashvatam yo paranam. Jayate riyate vakadachi. Nayam jitva bhagata vana bhuyaha. Ajo nito shashvatam paranam. Eternal means without a beginning. Without an end. So this body, this human form of life, or tree form of life, or animal form of life, aquatic form of life, it has a beginning and it has an end. But the person, the soul, has no beginning or end. This is described by Krishna that we've experienced in our practical lifetime that when we were very tiny, youth, we had a small body, child's body, komanam, jovanam, then youthful body, then we had an old man, old woman's body, like this. So practically speaking, this body is constantly changing. Although, Krishna gives this example because he's trying to explain a very fine point of understanding, namely transmigration of the soul. That in reality, the body that we have is changing at every moment, at every instant. But we cannot see that because our consciousness is not so sharp to pick up on this change of body. But Krishna explained, you can see that you had a small body, now you have a youthful body, now you have an old man's body. Actually, there is a continuum of change at every moment. So this is the changing material body, and the mind likewise is changing. But the soul, the living entity, is not changing. And this is experienced practically by the fact that in spite of so many changes of body that we've had, we're still the same person. It's like we can remember when we were young children playing in the park or in the streets, and then older, going to school, older, family life, older, now we're retired, now like this guy. So like this, the body is changing in so many ways, but still I'm the same person. This can be practically experienced. Everyone has this understanding. Different body, but you're still the same person. So this spiritual identity should be the real concern, atato brahma jigyasa. This should be the real concern of the human society. Not this temporary changing body. The whole human society is presently geared how to satisfy the demands of this temporary body. But we can see practically that this is fruitless. Ultimately, we have to give up this body. Ultimately, we have to give up our connection with society, with family, with everything. So everything should have its proper place, naturally, but the real focus of human life should be on the soul. This is Krishna consciousness. Not only the soul, but the relationship of the soul with God. So practically speaking, Krishna consciousness is a spiritual movement. We're trying to come to the platform, as Prabhupada has been speaking in class in the mornings about Sat-Dharma, eternal religion or eternal activity of the soul. Sat means eternal. Here in this material world, everything is temporary. By accident, you may be born in America, or in India, or in Japan, or in a human form, or in a cat form. But it's temporary. But the soul is eternal. And there is also a place, Parastadmatu Bhava Anya, another place beyond this material world, which is called the spiritual world. And that place is Sanatana. That place is eternal. And Krishna also is eternal. So Sat-Dharma, or eternal occupation of the soul, eternal religion, is that the living entity should be in this place, this eternal place, where there's no change of body. That you have to take a body and then give it up, and then, according to your work, take another body and then give it up. Revolve in the cycle of birth and death unnecessarily. Go to the Sanatana atmosphere. And there the Sanatana Lord is there. And there the soul is in his natural environment. And the exchange of love that takes place in this spiritual world, this is Sat-Dharma. So this temporary world of birth and death, this is asat. Krishna says, Dukhalayam Ashashva. It's asat. It's a temporary place. We're taking it to be real. Just like in a dream, we take that the dream is all in all. But by chanting this mantra, we can be awakened from this maddening, materialistic way of life, which is simply binding us up more and more to this false conception of attachment for this body. Practically, we know that we have to give up this body. But still, because everyone in the material world, Prabhupada explained this morning, is just like a madman. People are attached. It's like if you're attached to your clothes and you're thinking that if my clothes are finished, I'm finished. So this is a mad proposition. You can always get another set of clothes. Similarly, we're different from this body. So to be overly attached with this body, or even attached at all, is a form of madness. That's a fact. You analyze this soberly.
You mentioned an exchange of love in the spiritual world.
Yes.
I could do
Everyone is exchanging love in this world. We see that practically, that husband and wife are exchanging love, children and parents are exchanging love, friend and friend are exchanging love. There's so many different relationships in which we exchange love. Even animals, like a dog, a pet dog is exchanging love. It's been analyzed, experiments have been done, that even a plant is more productive when he knows that the person who's taking care of the plant is a friend. They speak about the green thumb. So even plants respond, they're sensitive. In a sense, they're also exchanging love in a simple way. So this loving propensity is natural. The difficulty is that due to ignorance, we're exchanging love on the bodily platform, which is asat, temporary. And therefore everyone is frustrated. Everyone is frustrated. It's a false platform of love. So the real platform of love is when we come to the soul platform. And Krishna speaks about this in the Bhagavad Gita. Rama Bhuta Prasana Atmana Shochite Nakanchate Samasarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktam Lavate Param. That when you come to the soul platform, it's also called Brahma Bhuta stage, or platform of the soul, then Mad Bhaktam Lavate Param. That bhakti means transcendental love and service to God.
Bhakti means, yes, exchange of love between God and the individual soul.
This becomes awakened on the spiritual platform. So the Krishna consciousness process is gradually to purify one, because that natural loving propensity is there. Our contention, and practically we're experiencing it, is that Krishna consciousness is natural way of love. It's not artificial imposition. Rather, in this present materialistic way of life, so many artificial standards and impositions have been put upon us. We can see that because culture is always changing. One year this is right to do, the next year that's right. Everything is simply mental concoction. But this Krishna consciousness process is eternal. It's never changed. We have history from the Srimad Bhagavatam. For millions and millions of years, people have been engaged in the very same process that we're following, of chanting the holy names, worshipping the deity in the temple, taking prasadam, association with saintly persons. The very same process, it hasn't changed. And the very same sentiment of love of God is being awakened naturally. So our contention is that the love is simply misdirected. Simply it has to be redirected towards Krishna. And the spiritual master, he does this. He takes our energy, our love, our intelligence, our everything, and directs it towards Krishna. And as a result, you become purified. It's a very natural process. Just like we have a propensity to love, so rather than waste our love on the temporary forms of the material world, because they're all perishable. First of all, we love the body, deha, and patya, we love the family members, the sons. Kalatra, we love our wife. Adishu, we like our community, nation. So many things. But all of these things, they're temporary. They won't last. They can't endure. So all of our love practically is being wasted.
There is an example in a water tank. You throw one stone, it becomes a circle. And the circle expands. Unless the circle comes to the shore. Similarly, our loving affair begins from personal self to family, then family to society, community, nation, international, but still it is imperfect unless the circle reaches to the lotus feet of God. Then it is satisfied. Swamin kitarthosmi barangana jase. Here, any loving affairs that is more or less lusty, a man or woman love each other, with some desire, not without desire. That desire is sense gratification. But actually, that is lust, not love. Pure love can be exchanged in relationship with God. Here, they are temporary. A boy, a girl, or a man, a woman, in relationship of love, but it breaks as soon as the lusty desire is not fulfilled. So here there is no question of love, it is all lusty desire. Real love can be achieved when it is exchanged with Krishna or God. That is the recommendation given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is the highest achievement. When we come on the loving platform with God, then we are satisfied. Big, big political leaders in our country, like Mahatma Gandhi, he loved his country so much, but the reward was that he was killed by his own men, by his countrymen. But this is not possible when the love is exchanged between God. Tonte apradhyani hi name bhaktapanasat. A little love for God can save you from the greatest danger of life. That is your love. And if you love Krishna, then you can love with everyone. Just like we are spreading this Krishna consciousness movement, it is out of love for Krishna. Otherwise, you would have sat down at home and loved Krishna while you are trying to spread this love exchange to others. Because I know, or we know, that here in this material world, the so-called love exchange is frustrating. People are being frustrated. But let him love Krishna, then he will be successful. This is our mission. Everyone has got loving propensity. This child has now love for his mother, or the mother has love, but as soon as the child will grow, the love will finish. He love somebody else. When he becomes young man, the love is transferred to somebody else. So, here the so-called love is not permanent. But when we love Krishna, it is permanent exchange of loving humor or mellow. And that is required. Sai, it is called Sai Ma. Sai means permanent. It is never vanquished. You will relish loving mellow, eternal. Aslishya bhapadratan kunastamam marmahatan karotuva yathatathava vridhatulam pata patpanana tasku saiva. Explain this verse.
Siddhastha. I do not know anyone but Krishna as my Lord.
Yeah.
This is Lord Chaitanya. He
who wrote only 8 verses about all this literature, done by his father, it's volumes and volumes about love of God. So in this Shastakam, 8 verses, the last verse is translated as the phrase, I do not know anyone but Krishna as my Lord, and he will always remain as such. Even if he handles me roughly in his embrace, or makes me brokenhearted, not being present before me, he's completely free to do anything and everything, and he'll remain my worshipable Lord, unconditionally. So this is just the opposite. This is pure love. This is the opposite of the what Srila Prabhupada is explaining, that in this material world, love is based on some desire. It actually becomes a kind of business, that I love you if you will respond in this way. What to speak of someone saying that I love you even if you act as a debauch? You don't have to be faithful. That's you can do as you like in your own way. But my declaration is that I simply want to serve you, and you'll always be my worshipable object. So love should be like that. Otherwise it is simply business, that I will give you the product if you give me the money. But the lover is the living being.
Does not expect anything in return. That is real love. Just like this mother is loving child, not expecting any return, but still she gives service. That is as a little sample of pure love. But here also, when the child is grown up, when the child is not obedient, the mother practically withdraws love. But in the spiritual world, unconditionally love is there. As it is explained, Aslishava Padasan Kinastama Marmahatan, whatever you do, I don't mind that, but still I love. That is pure love.
As a mother loves the child in pure love, does that help her to also find the pure love in the spiritual world?
Oh yes. Just like Mother Yashoda is loving Krishna. Nanda Maharaj is loving Krishna. That is pure love. This loving affair between mother and the son is a parvakti reflection of that pure love.
I think he's asking a question also that sometimes comes up, that if one loves in this material world, for example, one loves a child or loves humanity, does this help to develop love of God?
No. But if you love God, it helps to love the humanity. Just like if you supply food to the stomach, it helps the eyesight. But if you supply food to the eyes, then you become blind.
Isn't it important to mold the activities ourselves and also the children to come into this movement, to mold them so that we can become Krishna conscious.
Yes, that is, our Gurukul is there. Now these children are becoming Krishna conscious behind, you see, how they are learning Krishna consciousness. They are doing the same thing, offering obeisances to the deity, taking prasadam, chanting Hare Krishna mantra, in the same way as his father is being. Then automatically he is being turned up in Krishna consciousness. Good association, that is required. Satang prasangat mo bija samvida. We are keeping this house quiet for association of devotees, so that automatically they become Krishna conscious by association. The most unfortunate position is that there is no education about future life or the perfection of life. The education is the animal education. The animal eating, we are eating. If we are eating on table, a nice place, a nice chair, then we think it is advanced. But the business is the eating. Similarly, sleeping, the dog is sleeping on the street, we are sleeping in good apartment, a skyscraper building. They are thinking this is advancement of civilization. But actually the business is sleeping. Similarly, sex life, the dog is having sex life on the street, we are having in a very nice apartment. That business is sex. In this way, our modern activities are animal activities, but in a polished way. But that does not make any difference between the animal propensities and so-called civilized life. Civilized life is there when we understand what is God, our relationship with God. That is civilized life. And that is lacking. There is no such education. The education is only the same animal life in a polished way. That's all.
Could it be said that in a society where stress is placed on developing this understanding of God, people would naturally become disinclined towards these so-called modern activities of sense gratification?
That is the best qualification. If he becomes disinterested with this so-called modern civilized activity, that is the perfection of life. Bhakti parasanubhava virakti annatta syat. Bhakti means the more you become God-conscious, you become disinterested with this material activity. And that is needed, because material activities means we are wasting our time. What is the value of animal life? It is risky. If we become like animals, then we become animal next birth. Janjangabhapismaranubhavam sajatante kalevaram. At the time of death, the mind's position will give me another body. That is nature's law. That we do not know. There is no education how the body is being transferred, how the soul is transferred to a different body. And there are 8,400,000 different forms of body, and at the time of death, according to our mentality, we have to accept by nature's law a type of body which may not be human body. That we do not know. There is no education. The people are kept in darkness about the laws of nature. So it's a very risky simulation.
Sometimes it's
like without any knowledge, if you infect some disease, it will manifest in due course of time and you have to suffer. Similarly, without any knowledge, we are infecting the modes of material nature, and according to that modes of material nature, you have to accept a type of body which may not be very comfortable. Of course, there is no comfort when there is death. We don't want death, but there is compulsory death. There is no comfort at all. But still, the short duration of life, if we have little comfort, but again, if we have discomfortable life, then what is the benefit of discomfort? That material laws of nature, we do not know, neither any education about it. This Krishna consciousness movement is giving that education. Therefore, it is not a sentimental, so-called religious movement. It is a scientific movement of real education. To solve the problems of life.
I don't think human society has been educated to even understand the problem, or to speak of the cure.
The problem there is, but he's a fool. Who wants to die? Why this fire brigade is running here and there to save life? He doesn't want to die.
They will say, though, that everyone
no, they will died. Say that is what they foolishly, or they may say, that let them say. Actually, he doesn't like to die. I said, let there be fire. Why you call? Fire brigade. Let me die peacefully in the fire. Nonsense is suffering. But still he says there is no suffering. That is nonsense. That is ignorance. He is suffering every moment, but he does not know why he is suffering. That is ignorance. There's only animal. You are taking him to the slaughterhouse. He's suffering. He's screaming. But he does not know why I am taken to slaughterhouse and I am screaming. That is animal life. And when there will be question of why I am suffering, I did not want this fire. Why there is fire? That is perfectly. Is there any solution? Then there is human life. And if he remains like animal and simply try to make some remedial measures, he is suffering undoubtedly, but because he does not take it seriously, therefore he is animal. Animal does not take seriously why he is suffering. That is the distinction between human life and human, animal life. Suffering is there, but the animal does not take it seriously. But human life must take it seriously. And that is human life. There are so many sufferings. This is Adibho. Adi-daivik, by, you say, accident, by nature, by superior power, some miserable condition is enforced upon us. Suppose if there is an earthquake, that is not in your hand, but it may cause some havoc. This is Adi Daivik. Similarly, Adi Bhautik. Suffering caused by other living entities. And Adhyatmik, suffering caused by this body and mind. The suffering is always there. But we are suffering. We have been accustomed to suffer. But when the question is that why I am suffering, whether there is any remedy, that is human life. Otherwise, the animal life. That is the distinction between animal and human. If there is fire, and there are animals only, dogs and cats, they cannot call fire brigade. They will die. Because they do not know how to take measures. But a human being immediately calls fire brigade, just to try to save himself. But the suffering is there, either is animal or human being. But the distinction is, the human being tries to counteract it, the animal cannot. See, if you simply become subject to the suffering without any remedial measure, then you are animal. And you are suffering and you try for the remedial measure, that is human. This is plenty. You cannot say there is no suffering. Suffering is there, both for the animal and for the man. The man tries for the remedial measure, the animal cannot.
Some of the modern-day cults in America, different philosophies, they say that all of the suffering is experienced within the mind. So they try by meditation to ignore...
That's all right. When there is fire, you meditate. Why do you call fire me? If you are so great meditator, then go on meditating. Why you call for fire me? Nonsense, all rascals. That's why. Simply rascals. Mura. They have been described as mura. Rascals, that's why.
Sometimes they say it's just a dream, and they say, if you are bothering me, then you are just my dream. I don't have to worry about it. I'll have another dream and it'll go away.
No, the dream is it may be. But when there is fire, it's all a dream, but why do you call fire brigade? When you are diseased, why do you go to physician? Dream it. Major problems, birth, death, and old age, and disease, we do not want them. You must seek the measures. That is human life. Whether birth, death, old age, disease can be stopped, if there is any such life where there is no more birth, death, that is human. Athātam brahma jijñāsā. That is the Vedanta philosophy. Now, this human life is meant for inquiring about these things. If you don't inquire, that you remain animal. So this Krishna consciousness movement is trying to save the human society from this animal life, to bring him to the real human life. Animal life means there is suffering, go on suffering. Human life means there is suffering, how to counteract it. There is animal, human life. Suffering So long you have got this body, there must be seven. Nunam pravatta kurute vikarma jadindriya pritaye aprinoti nasadhu manne jato atmanayam asannapi kresade asadeha. The Kurmis, the Rishabdev is warning, nunam pramatta kurute vikarma. These rascals, being mad after sense gratification, they are doing everything and anything irresponsibly. Nunam pramatta. Pramatta means mad. Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma. Things which he should not have done, but he is doing. Why? Just indriya pritaye, simply for sense gratification. Therefore he advises, na sadhu ayam, this is not good. Why it is not good? Jata, he has already got a body, material body, for which he is suffering. And he is again creating the circumstance by which he will again get a material body and will suffer. Therefore one should act very responsibly, not like madmen. Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma. Then, this is that innocent. Nayanga deha deho bhajang niloke kastan kaman arhati vir bhujam. This body, although I have got this body, and the dog has got the body, or the hog has got the body, but this body is not meant for being spoiled like the dogs and hogs. The hog is also whole day working to find out where it stood. If we also work whole day and night for our sense gratification, then where is the difference between the hog's life and my life? The human life, human being should be sober to understand what is the problem of life, why I am subjected to so many tribulations, how to remedy, how to find out the remedy, and that requires tapasya, tapodibbam. In order to create that brain, it requires little tapasya. Therefore we are recommending no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, because we are already mad by material existence. And again, we are, if you are forced to become more and more mad by intoxication, by meat eating, by this, then where is your life? Your life is finished. Because to understand these problems of life requires a little brain. So, to create that brain, these little tapasya require. He's already puzzled, and if you make him more and more puzzled by supplying him intoxication and this gross eating or meeting, then he remains in the grossest platform of ignorance. That is not human activity. The brain must be little clear to understand what is the value of life, why I am suffering. If there is any remedial measure, how can I take it? That is brain. And if the brain is used only to find out where is sense gratification, where is sex, where is food, where is shelter, where is money, that business is being done by the hogs and dogs. This Krishna consciousness movement means to save people from these dogs and hogs' life and to come to the real platform of understanding the value of it. They do not know it. Nati vidu sāthagati viṣṇu durāsayādi vahiratthamāsa. They do not know What is the aim of life? Simply by false hope, they are trying to adjust things with material affairs. That will never be done. Durasa. Durasa means it is useless hope. It cannot be. That's like we see that here in New York City, American people are very rich and intelligent. But they cannot stop this fire, which is unwanted. They cannot stop. That's not possible. Because they are living very high, 300 feet high, or more than that, you are not safe still. You are still in the same danger. Because you are living in big, big skyscraper building, it does not mean that you will not die. Death is there also. The birth, death, old age, disease, the real problems of life, does not mean that because we have advanced in so-called material civilization, we have avoided birth, death. Even big, big scientists who gave us so many big, big inventions, but still they died. They could not invent something which will protect them from death. At the time of death, give me this pill so that I will not die and I will go on giving you more scientific advice. That is not possible. What is your question?
That some people think that by meditating, that they can somehow or another ignore.
Meditating means this subject matter, that I don't want death. Why death comes upon me? That is real meditation.
So then the problems of life are more than simply those which we perceive.
Yes. Otherwise, what is meditation? Think over something seriously. That is meditation. But if you have no important, serious thinking, it's simply some imagination, how it will help you?